The following shiur is presented by Dayan Shlomo Cohen, Dayan in Beit Din Ahavat Shalom in Yerushalayim, and author of Pure Money.
For more shiurim or information, please visit theshc.org or call 1-844-200-PSHC. That's 1-844-200-8742.
This is Rabbi Shlomo Cohen with a shiur on Parshat Shmini. Shechita and Tzar Baal Echaim. Shechita, the Jewish method of slaughter, has been under attack for many, many years. In Switzerland to this day, Shechita is banned. It was probably banned about 100 years ago. The European Union has a recommendation. It's not law in European countries, it's a recommendation of the European Union that all animals be pre-stunned. I'll explain soon why that is something that we cannot agree with. Pre-stunning is a stun gun to the brain of the animal, knocking it out unconscious so that it doesn't feel any pain. In Great Britain, there was a few years ago a parliamentary debate on the whole subject. The request was that it was demanded that all food be labelled on the packages whether it came from meat that was pre-stunned or not. This by itself implies that there's a problem. That's why it would be a problem for us to agree to this. A very, very large percentage of Jewish slaughtered animals are sold to non-Jews. And for this to all be labelled as if shechita is a cruel way of slaughtering an animal is something that's unacceptable, because we do not accept that shechita is a cruel way. So is shechita cruel though? We have to try and prove this. Is it more humane to pre-stun the animal? First of all, let's make it clear that an animal, everyone who's eating cows, large animals, everyone wants to cut the throat of the animal while its heart is still beating, so that the heart does the work of getting the blood out of the body. No one wants to eat the blood. So everyone wants to get the blood out of the body. The best, most efficient way to do that is that the animal is slaughtered, its arteries are cut while its heart is still beating, and therefore the heart will now pump out of the body all the blood. So everyone wants to do that. The non-Jews want to do that too. That's why they're not talking about putting a bullet to the brain of the animal, because that would mean that all the blood will stay inside the animal and it'll be a difficult process to get it out, and no one wants to eat an animal like that. So there's no option of putting a bullet to the head of a cow and in that way killing it. Everyone wants to chef to get the blood out. Let me jump straight away to the conclusion of the RSPCA, that's the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, after the debate in the British Parliament. They said that there was no proof that pre-stunning, that not stunning the animal, is a more humane way of slaughtering the animal. I don't believe, he wrote, that the welfare of the animal was at the heart of those who decided how to shecht animals. And seeing as nowadays, with the advance of technology, it must be that there are more humane ways of getting rid of an animal, of shechting an animal. So we have to change and we have to outlaw shechita. So you see that he himself doesn't admit, the RSPCA, were people that really do care about animal welfare, have to admit that there is no proof that shechita is a more cruel way of killing an animal than any other way. That came out of the argument. That came out of the debate, that there is no actual proof. And we claim that our way is the most humane way to do it. And as far as the charge that we don't care about animal welfare, we didn't have the good of the animal at heart when it was decided how we're going to slaughter animals. Well, let's look at some of the mitzvot that we have in our Torah. Let's have a look at some of the mitzvot that we have in our Torah. There are many, many mitzvot that we can see that are very, very connected to the suffering of animals and to prevent suffering of animals before we go in to explain the whole thing of shechita. So let's take a look at some mitzvahs that we have in our Torah that are connected to the suffering of animals. Shiluach HaKen, a special mitzvah that you're not allowed to take the eggs from a nest unless you send the mother away. This is a question of Tzar Baalei Chaim, that the mother shouldn't see that you're taking her chicks, you're taking her eggs. My Rosh Yeshiva Rav Yisachar Meir used to say that certainly to take the eggs and to send away the mother where you don't need the eggs is just Tzar Baalei Chaim. You're causing the animal to suffer. You see here a mitzvah that is totally built on the suffering of animals. Lo tachzom shor b'disha, we're told. When you're ploughing with an ox, you're not allowed to put a muzzle on him so that he won't be able to eat from the food that's around him because he's going to be suffering. Lo yachrosh shor v'chamor yachdav, we're told. You're not allowed to plough with an ox and a donkey together on the yoke. Why? Because these two animals won't get on. They're both ploughing and going at different paces, and for each one of them it's going to be uncomfortable. And just because of the uncomfortable feeling of your ox, or the uncomfortable feeling of your donkey, we're told that you're not allowed to plough with these two animals together. Another mitzvah that's connected to the suffering of animals. You're not allowed to shecht a mother and a child on the same day. Prikantina. If you see an animal suffering under its load, you have to help the owner to unload it. You also have to help the loader, the person, to load up his load if he's suffering. But what happens if you see a person that needs help loading and a person that needs help unloading? Who do you go to help first, says the Gemara? You go to help the guy who needs the unloading first. Why? Because it's Tzar Baalei Chaim. His donkey is suffering in the meantime. And we care about the suffering of the donkey. And therefore you have to run and help this person to unload. There are poskim that wrote about duck's liver. The way that the ducks were grown and fattened up was very cruel. And poskim came out years ago that we shouldn't be eating this duck liver because it's created through Tzar Baalei Chaim. It's created through the suffering of animals. What about feeding your animals? We say in Shema Yisrael every day, V'natati esed besadecha livemtecha v'achalta v'savata. I will put grass in your fields for your animals, and then you will eat. From here says the Gemara Masechet Brachot, that the first thing we have to do before we eat breakfast in the morning is to feed our animals. You can't sit down to a hearty breakfast when your animals are still starving hungry and haven't had any food to eat. That would be Tzar Baalei Chaim. You have to have mercy on your animals and look after them well. So that's another halakha that is completely connected to Tzar Baalei Chaim. Neutering animals, what's called sirus. We're not allowed to neuter any animals. So according to some poskim, the reason for this is all a question of Tzar Baalei Chaim, it's a question of the animal suffering from the operation. Because of that, there are poskim that say today where every animal is anesthetized before the neutering, so it would be allowed. There are poskim like that. The Tzitz Eliezer. And there's a famous story about the Arizal. There was a couple for many, many years didn't have any children. And they couldn't understand why, and they asked the Arizal if he could explain to them what they can do, why is this happening to them. He said to them that, he said, in your courtyard you have chickens, right? I said, yes. And where do the chickens get their water from? There's a small tap with a little pipe. That's where all the chickens get their water from. But seeing as the water is quite high up, there are a number of little chicks that can't get to the water, and they're suffering. That's why you don't have children, said the Arizal. Can you imagine that? The reason why this couple is for so many years without children is because animals are unintentionally suffering from them. So to say that we don't care about suffering of animals is just not true. Our Torah is full of mitzvahs that are just 100% connected to the suffering of animals. You have to remember that 100 years ago, no one even thought that animals had feelings. No one cared certainly about animal welfare, but the Jew, we had in our Torah for the last few thousand years, very, very, many, many well-developed and well-expounded halachot connected to the suffering of animals. So let's go back to Shechita, though, to explain exactly what it is and how it works. Shechita must be formed by a qualified shochet. He's had much training, learning exactly how to shecht an animal. The knife that's used for shechita is a razor-sharp knife. It's checked by the rabbi before the shechting by running his fingernail up and down the blade. A fingernail is probably one of the most sensitive parts of the body. And the slightest nick that can be felt in the knife means it has to be resharpened. No nicks in the knife. It has to be a razor-sharp, clean blade. The cut that's made in shechita has to cut the tracheus and the esophagus, the majority of them, in one clean cut. One clean cut means not like a saw going backwards and forwards, and not by pressing. These are both ways that would hurt more. The only way you can shecht is with one clean cut. With one clean cut, when you cut the esophagus and the tracheus, that's the windpipe and the food pipe. So you're also going to cut, inevitably, the main jugular veins, the arteries, that are taking blood to the brain. In all kosher animals, these arteries are at the front of the neck, between, together with the esophagus and the tracheus, the windpipe and the food pipe. Why? Whereas, interestingly enough, with all the non-kosher animals, they're at the back of the neck. Once this artery has been cut with our clean cut, there is a drop of blood flow to the brain, a tremendous drop of more than 50% in one go. Within 2 to 3 seconds, as anyone who understands anything about medicine knows, the reason why someone is going to faint is because of a lack of blood to the brain. As soon as this happens, within 2 to 3 seconds of cutting off of the blood to the brain, the animal faints. From the moment the animal faints, he feels nothing. Just like someone who's been anesthetized for an operation can carry on dreaming and can even remember his dreams afterwards. His brain is working, but he feels nothing during the open heart surgery that he's going to go through. So too with the animal. The animal has been shechted. After 2 to 3 seconds, he's going to be totally unconscious, and he will feel no pain. Even those 2-3 seconds, if any of you have ever cut yourself with a razor, you don't even notice it, you don't feel it until you see the blood. So of those 2 or 3 seconds, certainly the majority of it, of them, of that time, is going to be time when the animal doesn't even know he's yet been cut. So the suffering is going to be very, very minimal. Even though the heart is going to carry on pumping for another couple of minutes. Nevertheless, the animal now is totally unconscious. The fact that his heart is still beating doesn't mean that he is feeling any pain. He's not. Our opponents used this against us. They said, let's put electrodes to the brains of the animals and see what they're feeling. They put electrodes to the brains of animals that had been shattered through pre-stunning, and they found, of course, there was no brain activity. They just blow his brains out, right? That's why there's no activity. But in the animals that were shechted, they found that there was brain activity. So they say, here now, you see the animal's feeling, the animal's suffering. The answer is the animal's not feeling and the animal is not suffering. That's just the fact that there's brain activity doesn't mean that he's suffering. Just in the same way as someone who's been anesthetized for an operation can have brain activity and can dream things, but that doesn't mean that they're feeling anything. So it's not a proof. Let me just say, I forgot to mention earlier, the very important point, why we cannot agree to pre-stunning. Why can't the Jew agree to pre-stunning? Is it the stubborn Jew again? The answer is that any animal that has an illness or anything wrong with it, that means that it won't live for 12 months, is considered as a treif. And it's not kosher. That's why after any shechting, we always do many checks of the internal organs to make sure to see that the animal is perfectly healthy. Once you put a stun gun to his head, the animal is unconscious. He could be half dead already from the power of the stun gun. We don't know. We can't know. And therefore, we can never say that this animal is not a treif. And that's our problem. We need to see the animal walking before it's been shechted. We need to see that he's still alive. But after the stun gun's been put to his head, we can never know what his situation is. And that's why we can't agree to pre-stunning. They did an experiment by injecting dye into the heart of the animal at the time of shechting. They wanted to see, where does the blood go? Are the Jews right that no blood goes to the brain? In which case we can understand that there'll be no feelings by the animal. And they found, lo and behold, that yeah, the blood that was dyed was in all parts of the body, but none of it was in the brain. Because there is no other way that blood is carried to the brain apart from these jugular arteries which are severed at the time of Shechita. So our argument is that we claim that Shechita is the most humane way to slaughter an animal. And Be'ezrat Hashem, just like in England, they managed to convince and put off this gezerah that people wanted to put on Shechita. Be'ezrat Hashem, well, this will happen all over the world, everyone will understand that Shechita, our way of slaughter, is, in fact, does have the welfare of the animal at heart, and certainly it's a humane way of sending off the animal. As I said before, everyone is interested in shechting an animal while its heart is still beating, because only then can you get all the blood out of the animal, and no one wants to eat the blood. So that's why the question is just a question of pre-stunning, and no one would talk about putting a bullet to the head of the animal, because that's not what anyone is interested in doing. And we must accept that while amongst our opponents there may certainly be anti-Semites, but that's not the basis of the argument here. There are certainly many, many non-Jews who do care about our animal suffering, and our answer to them has to be clear that we claim that our way of shechting does not cause any extra suffering to the animal. On the contrary, our way of shechting, we claim, is the most humane way that you can do this. And that's our argument. Thank you.
This audio series has been brought to you by the Sephardic Halakha Center. The center is committed to advancing research and application of halakha in the Sephardic community nationwide. For a halakhic consultation, monetary Beit Din services, to order this series or to sign up to receive the Sephardic Halakha Journal, or for all other information, please call 1-844-200-TSHC or email info@theshc.org to subscribe.